for a moment, looking up to find that khaki-clad figure standing just inside the door. He thought he was hallucinating again.
"Robert, what on earth are you doing here?"
He jumped up and ran across the lounge.
"Thank God you've come!
I got myself past fit."
"Robert, no!"
"What else could I do after getting this?" Graves dug into his tunic pocket and produced a crumpled piece of paper. "A covering letter would have been nice."
"I wrote?"
"No, you didn't, sir. So you just sent me this. Couldn't you at least have talked about it first?" They sat down facing each other across a small table.
"Sass, you've got to give this up. Look, you've made your protest. For what it's worth, I agree with every word of it, but you've had your say. There's no point making a martyr of yourself."
"The only way I can get publicity is to make them court-martial me."
"They won't do it.
You're in no state to stand a court-martial." Graves clasped his clenched fist. "If I had Russell here now, I'd shoot him.
It was my idea. Now pull the other one.
And even if it was, do you think anybody's going to understand it? They'll just say you've got cold feet." "Look, Robert, you think exactly as I do about the war, and you do nothing. All right, that's your choice, but don't come here lecturing me about cold feet. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. Now, on the train going to Craig Lockhart, it still seemed the hardest thing." He shifted in his seat and sighed. On that Sunday, they'd taken the train to Formby and spent the afternoon wandering aimlessly along the beach. "They won't let you make a martyr of yourself, Sass. You should have accepted the board." For perhaps the fourth time, Sassoon said, "If I hold out long enough, there's nothing else they can do."
"There's a lot they can do."
Graves seemed to come to a decision. "As a matter of fact, I've been pulling a few strings on your behalf."
Sassoon smiled to hide his anger. "Good. If you've been exercising your usual tact, that ought to get me at least 2 years. They won't court-martial you."
In spite of himself, Sassoon began to feel afraid.
"What then?"
"Shut you up in a lunatic asylum for the rest of the war. And that's the result of your string-pulling, is it? Thanks. No, the result of my string-pulling is to get you another board. You must take it this time."
"You can't put people in lunatic asylums just like that. You have to have reasons."
"They've got reasons." "Yes, the declaration. Well, that doesn't prove me insane." "And the hallucinations? The corpses in Piccadilly?" A long silence. "I had rather hoped my letters to you were private."
"I had to persuade them to give you another board.
And if you go on refusing to be boarded, they will put you away." "You know, Robert, I wouldn't believe this from anybody else."
"Will you swear it's true?"
"I swear." Their shadows stretched out behind them, black on the white sand. For a moment, Sassoon still hesitated. Then, with an odd little gasp, he said, "All right, then. I'll give way." In the taxi going to Craig Lockhart, Sassoon began to feel frightened. He looked out of the windows at the crowded pavements of Princes Street, thinking he was seeing them for the first and last time. He couldn't imagine what awaited him at Craig Lockhart, but he didn't for a moment suppose the inmates were let out. He glanced up and found the taxi driver watching him in the mirror. All the local people must know the name of the hospital and what it was for. Sassoon's hand went up to his chest and began pulling at a loose thread where his MC ribbon had been. For conspicuous gallantry during a raid on the enemy's trenches. He remained for 1.5 hours under rifle and bomb fire, collecting and bringing in our wounded. Owing to his courage and determination, all the killed and wounded were brought in. Reading the citation, it seemed to Rivers more extraordinary than ever that Sassoon should have thrown the medal away. Even the most extreme pacifist could hardly be ashamed of a medal awarded for saving life. He took his glasses off and rubbed his eyes. He'd been working on the file for over an hour, but, although he was now confident he knew all the facts, he was no closer to an understanding of Sassoon's state of mind. A man like Sassoon would always be trouble, but he'd be a lot less trouble if he were ill. Rivers was roused from these thoughts by the crunch of tires on gravel. He reached the window in time to see a taxi draw up, and a man, who from his uniform could only be Sassoon, get out. Sassoon stood for a moment, looking up at the building.
Nobody arriving at Craig Lockhart for the first time could fail to be daunted by the sheer, gloomy, cavernous bulk of the place. Sassoon took a deep breath, squared his shoulders, and ran up the steps. Rivers turned away from the window, feeling almost ashamed of having witnessed that small, private victory over fear. Light from the window behind Rivers' desk fell directly onto Sassoon's face. Pale skin, purple shadows under the eyes. Apart from that, no obvious signs of nervous disorder. No twitches, jerks, blinks. No repeated ducking to avoid a long exploded shell. His hands, doing complicated things with cup, saucer, plate, sandwiches, cake, sugar tongs, and spoon, were perfectly steady. Rivers raised his own cup to his lips and smiled. One of the nice things about serving afternoon tea to newly arrived patients was that it made so many neurological tests redundant. So far, he hadn't looked at Rivers. The voice was slightly slurred, a flow of words sometimes hesitant, sometimes rushed. A disguised stammer, perhaps, but a lifelong stammer, Rivers thought, not the recent self-conscious stammer of the neurasthenic. "Well, I remember Captain Graves rang to say he'll be along sometime after dinner. He sent his apologies for missing the train." Sassoon looked relieved. "You know, I don't think Graves caught a train in his life, unless somebody was there to put him on it. I thought he'd slept in. He's been doing a lot of rushing round on my behalf recently. You've no idea how much work goes into rigging a medical board." Rivers massaged the inner corners of his eyes. "No, I don't suppose I have. You know, this may sound naive, but to me, the accusation that a medical board has been rigged is quite a serious one. I've no complaints. I was dealt with in a perfectly fair and reasonable way." "What kind of questions do they ask?" Sassoon smiled. "Oh, did I object to fighting on religious grounds? I said I didn't. It was rather amusing, actually. For a moment I thought they were asking me whether I objected to going on a crusade. Did I think I was qualified to decide when the war should end? I said I hadn't thought about my qualifications." He glanced at Rivers. "Not true." And then... "Then Colonel Langdon said, 'Your friend tells us you're very good at bombing. Don't you still dislike the Germans?'" A long silence.
"And what did you say to that?"
"I don't remember. It didn't matter what I said."
"It matters now."
"All right." A faint smile. "Yes, I am quite good at bombing. No, I do not still dislike the Germans."
"Does that mean you once did?"
Sassoon looked surprised. "Briefly. April and May of last year, to be precise." Sassoon went on, almost reluctantly. "A friend of mine had been killed. For a while I used to go out on patrol every night looking for Germans to kill. Or rather, I told myself that's what I was doing. In the end, I didn't know whether I was trying to kill them or just giving them plenty of opportunities to kill me."
"Mad Jack."
Sassoon looked taken aback.
"Graves really has talked, doesn't he?"
"It's the kind of thing the medical board would need to know." Rivers hesitated. "Taking unnecessary risks is one of the first signs of a war neurosis."
"Is it?"
Sassoon looked down at his hands.
"I didn't know that."
"Nightmares and hallucinations come later. Well, what's an unnecessary risk anyway? The maddest thing I ever did was done under orders." He looked up. "We were told to go and get the regimental badges off a German corpse. They reckon he'd been dead 2 days, so obviously if we got the badges, they'd know which battalion was opposite. Full moon, not a cloud in sight, absolutely mad. But off we went. Well, we got there, eventually, and what do we find? He's been dead a hell of a lot longer than 2 days, and he's French anyway."
"So what did you do?"
"Pulled one of his boots off. And sent it back to Battalion HQ, with quite a bit of his leg left inside." Rivers allowed another silence to open up.
"I gather we're not going to talk about nightmares."
"I did have nightmares when I first got back from France. I don't have them now."
"And the hallucinations?"
He found this more difficult.